welcome to another episode of the Click Nation's Comic Book Chronicles.
Yay!
I am your host, Tim D-O-double-G. Tonight I'm joined by the man pointing at you in his avatar picture if you're watching on the video podcast stream. That's at Roddy Cat on Twitter.
Greetings and salutations.
And we also have at Agent underscore 70 on Twitter.
What's up, everybody?
And join us later tonight, we will have Dirt from the popculturenetwork.com. And we want to encourage everyone to go to the website, theclicknation.com, where you can find previous episodes of the Comic Book Chronicles and comic book reviews. Follow the Twitter account at theclicknation. Like the Facebook fan page, facebook.com/theclicknation. Follow the Google Plus page, just search for theclicknation. YouTube channel is youtube.com/theclicknation. Make sure to subscribe to that. And also subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Just search for Click Nation. And if you ever have any feedback you want to have read on a future show, send that on over to theclicknation@gmail.com.
Hashtag Comic Book Chronicles. Remember
use
that.
On your favorite social media sites and pages of your liking.
We out there.
We in here. And yes, we want to remind everyone that we record live every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern time. So just make sure to pay attention to the website, The Click Nation, and the link will be at the top of the page, even though it's not tonight because I have time to get to it, but I'll post the website post after the show is over. And with that, we can go on and get going to the news this week, which is mostly movie news. So let me bring that up. Okay, so I think we talked about this a little bit last week, but Marvel finally came out and gave news or some more updates on their Time Runs Out event in September, which is the culmination. Well, it's, I don't think it's that. Start the beginning of the culmination of Jonathan Hickman's Avengers and New Avengers run.
Right.
And I think this came out like Friday after we recorded. So I'm actually pulling up the link so I can refresh my memory on what they talked about. Are they jumping ahead? Is it 5 months or 8 months? Let's see. In September, writer Jonathan Hickman jumps to cataclysmic saga he has been building for 2 years forward to the final to the day of the final incursion. Avengers 35 and New Avengers 24, both double-sized issues, will jump 8 months into the future where the end game begins.
You mean there was actually 8 months more of Hickman mumbo jumbo that would have gone on before we got to the end?
we get to skip all that. So the cover to New Avengers number 8 shows a new cabal, which is what the evil version of the Illuminati, right? I think that's what they are.
Yes.
Or it could be just they're using it from the Avengers Assemble cartoon too, like the new group of bad guys.
Oh yeah. On the cover has Thanos and one of his main lieutenant from Infinity, whose name I can't remember. Terrats from one of the other worlds. Namor and a couple other people that I can't tell in the background.
Black Swan. And I'm not sure who the other one is.
Good eye. And it will be art by Mike Deodato, who's currently doing Original Sin. And for Avengers 35, it will be Jim Chung. Mm-hmm. And on the cover of that, we see Thor with that fancy axe of his. I'm assuming that's the same axe.
Yarn.
Yeah, Myon Myon. Havoc, what looks to be Falcon with Captain America's shield, Hulk, and then sort of an oldish looking blonde haired guy with a cane. What I'm speculating is Captain America minus his super serum.
Could be. No spoiler alert for this week's issue of Cap.
I haven't read that.
Whoa. I just spoiled it.
I actually didn't even hear what you said, so.
Yeah, good thing for that bell.
So I guess I'm going to have to keep reading that. I was kind of looking for an excuse to stop reading.
Well, this is the culmination of this particular part of the story. So if you missed everything else and just read this, then, you know, you probably haven't missed too much.
So Tom Brevoort says, in addition to setting the table for the astonishing climax of Jonathan Hickman's run, we'll also be providing a glimpse into the immediate future of our characters and what changes await them over the course of the next 8 months of publishing. And then taking a shot at DC, this isn't some maybe future. This is the real deal. What's the way in the Marvel Universe in the coming year?
Shots fired.
We don't have the shots fired sound effect, man. I really have to figure out. Exactly. I've got to figure out how to do a better soundboard. It's funny.
So what do we think of that? Wait and see.
I'm willing to wait and see, but I'm not happy with some of these developments that they're, you know, they're probably just going to roll backwards after, you know, a year.
Yeah.
Maybe.
They have to go back in time to, because everything, the rest of the Marvel Universe isn't going to be 8 months in the future. That would be kind of cool, I guess.
What did we say whether they were going to stay in the 8 months, though?
Yeah, it's kind of like what Batman did when they showed us that glimpse into the future of Batman Eternal in that issue of Batman. They showed it to us, and then we have to go back to the present and work our way up to
the future. So it's curious. I'm see how it goes. It could be something good come out of it. I would hope.
And in movie news, which is a little bit of that, Josh Brolin is set to play Thanos in Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah
I'm okay with that.
Like, so I can't see who else would they. I mean, you know, never been good at the casting game, but I can't see who else they would have, you know,
selected.
Yeah, who could have gotten it.
So he will be in Guardians of the Galaxy and play some type of role.
Which, that is the bigger question.
Behind the scenes, perhaps?
Well, I mean, if you kind of piece together from that the end of Thor 2, you know, the post roll. If you look piece that together, you can kind of infer something there. So it could stand a reason that it could play into, it probably will play into that, obviously.
Oh, absolutely.
So how much bigger?
Right, especially if they have, you know, spoiler alert. You know, if you saw the trailers for Guardians, you know, the collector's there.
Right.
He's there, so that there's definitely going to be some role. You know, somewhere behind, it's probably not going to be that prominent. It's going to be more behind the scenes than not. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, that sounds feasible.
So, you know, they're probably going to hold them, for. I'm not sure if it's going to be the third Avengers movie. That's a long ways away.
They're probably going to have to, though.
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
You're like, eh.
I guess.
Well, I mean, that would make sense. Cause like, I suspect he will come in just enough to say, all right, I got what I need. And then they'll continue it in, you know, in Avengers. Like, this is pretty much leading up to him getting whatever he needs to go ahead with whatever's going to happen in Avengers 3. So, like I said, it'll probably be prominent enough, but I don't think it'll be like, it's like, all right, we got to go here now. So.
All right. Cool.
All right. Next up, I'm going to stay with movies, get all that news out the way. Mm-hmm. X-Force movie shelved because X-Men Apocalypse. Should be a question mark at the end of that.
Too bad. Meh. So sad.
Meh.
Yeah. And this is basically all coming from Rob Liefeld, his Twitter feed. So he's speculating that since X-Men Days of Future Past did so well that and Fox wanted to do X-Men Apocalypse, that now there's no room on the schedule for X-Force. Which to that I say, if anything, maybe the X-Men Apocalypse is taking X-Force's spot on the calendar, but it's not like they're not, Fox probably doesn't want to do an X-Force movie. One will probably be made.
Right. Yeah, it's not like they can't make the movie because this is happening. It's more often than when they plan on doing it.
Right. Yeah.
And I think he even did some casting, which I didn't look through the whole article. At least the article I saw, he was doing casting for...
Liefeld was?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, we know your investment in this anyway, so...
That's right. Righto.
And Marvel has picked a director for Doctor Strange.
It is. They might be picking a Doctor Strange very soon, too.
Yeah, that news will be. I guess it's good to get a director first before you cast the person.
Which they do. There was a rumor out there. So they were talking about possibly Jared Leto.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the only thing we got right now. I'm kind of curious as to I'm curious of this. Doctor Strange is a, for lack of a better word, interesting pick. I was about to say strange, but that was. So. I mean, and a movie would be pretty cool if they do them right.
So it's going to be Scott Derrickson, the director of this summer's Deliver Us from Evil and previous films, The Exorcism of Emily Rose and Sinister, two low-budget horror films that hit it big at the box office.
But he sounds like he has Supernatural. He can do a Supernatural movie then. So. Yes.
Very familiar. And so that's it for movies. Go back to the comic news. So Megan Hetrick, who was set to do the art in Nightwing 30 and was replaced, she put up online original pages from the comic that was completed, just not colored, for sale. And like I was saying online, after reading the comic with no lettering or nothing, just from just the look of the comic, I would have preferred getting that comic instead of what we got instead. It's
pretty good.
Yeah. And it was written by James Tynion, so she was going off of his script, one would assume. And it actually showed, it was like a funeral for Dick Grayson / Nightwing, mm-hmm. and heroes that showed up to pay their respects, and instead of the Batman Nightwing fighting with their shirts off,
exactly,
that we got instead.
Yeah, I would have preferred what we saw, that came out afterwards. That's kind of, I was very disappointed we didn't get that the first time around because it was so underwhelming, the ending to Nightwing that we did get. So,
all right. Compare the wealth of comic book characters with this infographic.
Yep, that was me. So you remember last week where there was an article that talked about comparing Lex Luthor to real world people.
Mm-hmm.
This one, I think this is, not remember, this one's pretty much strictly Marvel based and has nothing to do with real people. This is basically comparing the wealth of, the richest people in the Marvel universe. I want to say, let me see. No, I'm sorry. No, there's some So you basically have Doom, Green Arrow, Professor X, Magneto, Lex Luthor's in here, Batman's in here, Iron Man is here. But the top person with an estimated value of $500 billion is the former king of Wakanda, the Black Panther, T'Challa.
Pays to be king.
Yeah, you know, got your own country. It doesn't hurt. So, and of course, like I said, second to him is Iron Man, and Batman's third.
Somehow my screen has changed on me.
I still find it weird that Doom is so far down the list.
Right, because he has his own country, and well, you know what, I wonder, and
not other because they don't have any tourists, is that what it is?
Well, I'm kind of wondering, because this actually came up in She-Hulk, because it's like, well, the Laverian currency is pretty much illegal everywhere else.
That's right.
And hard to
convert,
so that probably has something to do with it.
It probably does.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Welcome in.
Who was in second?
Iron Man.
Okay.
Say welcome to PCN.
We've been joined by Dirt from the PopCultureNetwork.com.
Hopefully I'm doing it. Is this thing on? Hello?
Yep, we got you. We hear you.
I've got nothing on my screen. Like, I can see the thumbnails of everybody, but I don't have the big picture across my screen that I usually have.
Really?
What do you see?
Yeah, it's weird. Just nothing. You see yourself? Just a big blank spot. I can see the little thumbnails down at the bottom. I can see me. I can see Tim. I can see a black square for Roddy Cat. I can see Agent 70. Nothing happening.
Huh. Weird.
No dice.
Weird.
You don't want to look at us anyway.
Yeah, I'd say maybe it's better this way.
I was just looking at a new TV spot for the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie. Comes out in August, people.
I'll give the movie a shot. Like, so far, I don't hate it as much as I've hated every Transformers movie. Like, from what I've seen of it, it doesn't look as terrible. So, we'll give it a shot.
So, that last Transformers trailer has me rather curious.
They actually showed more in this TV spot just now.
Oh, really?
Did you guys watch Future Past, Days of Future Past yet?
No.
Anybody?
No.
Me neither.
I just don't go to the theater that much.
Well, I recall that. That's why, you know, when you were mentioning Turtles, it made me remember that you don't, you know, you're not a fan of going to the theater that often. So if you're going to go for Turtles, that's pretty cool.
Although I did pick up RoboCop today.
Nice.
And I got the Target version because the version from Target comes with a code that you can input and download a exclusive digital comic from Boom Studios.
Oh, that's cool.
Nice.
All right, so what did I miss? Anything?
We're about to finish the news. Last news story is the new creative team for Moon Knight was revealed.
Ooh.
Because, of course, Warren Ellis was just a hired gun to come on and launch the series and then leave.
When does this start? Oh, as of number 7, okay.
Yeah,
7. As William Bruce West, friend of the show, pointed out to me, his 6 issues fit nicely into a first trade.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Coincidence. Because I was saying, like, what was the point of even launching Moon Knight if he wasn't going to stay on the book? And, of course, Will pointed out how Marvel likes to bring in, you know, big names to launch series to get them off the ground.
Yeah.
Which they've done a lot with artists, but this is the first time I can remember doing it with a writer with all the new launches.
Well,
but it's going to be second. Brian Wood on writing duties and artist Greg Smallwood.
Yeah, maybe I'm a little I guess I'm just unfamiliar with Smallwood's work, so I'm looking, you know, I haven't had time to really look into what his style is like, but you know, I've never heard of him.
Yeah. Let's see, the article doesn't say where he comes from. So Jordy Belair is going to stay on as colorist, and Declan Shelby is going to stay doing the covers.
All right.
Yeah, I was going to ditch Moon Knight anyway, so.
It's a weird read. This week was very weird.
Yeah, I heard the one this week was good.
Good, just weird.
I may flip through it. We'll see.
Dream Thief. That is what.
Yeah, that's what he did. Yeah. So many comics with Dream or and Thief in the name. I get them all confused. Yeah.
Dream Thief was good though. I really like that series. They got a second one coming out too. So maybe I'll look into this one.
Yeah, and Wood was doing his thing on Adjectives with X-Men. So I'm staying on top of this one. And of course, it's this Star Wars run, but which I still have yet to read. But
okay, so now we can get into talking comics from this week. Should we just start with the Original Sin number 3?
Go for it.
Sure.
Well, I don't know. Did anybody read it?
You can find a review on TheClickNation.com and PopCultureNetwork.com. But, like I've been saying, I've been quoting Jim Ross says, business picks up this issue.
About time.
Yeah. We've been dealing with characters no one's heard of before as far as the villains go, with the Orb and Dr. Midas and Exterminatrix, who appeared in Young Avengers, and I didn't even realize that was
the same person. I was about to say you should have remembered her from that one, but
there were so many people in that book, and
yeah, that's true.
Yeah, seriously.
At least when she showed up, they had like every teenage hero showing up near the end of that. But so Original Sin, we got to spend time with each individual investigative group being led around by the mysterious boss. And the secrets from one of the Watcher's eyes leaked out and affected just the heroes who were in the vicinity, which will lead to stories being told in various spin-off books. And what else did we have? So we know semi-spoilers, won't say what the big stuff happens, but we'll say that the Watcher's killer used a gun, and he's a good shot because he or she impresses even the Punisher.
Right.
Okay, question for you guys. So we were talking about the Guardians of the Galaxy trailer earlier, or I think Roddy Cat brought it up. You know, in the second trailer that came out, that there's like a floating planet that looks like a head?
Yes.
Yeah. Is that the same thing we saw in this issue?
No, I think that's probably Ego, the Living Planet.
Right.
And in this issue, they make reference to, it's just like Ego, the Living Planet.
Oh.
What was the, wasn't there some celestial that was killed out in space? Like Nova went there? And there was like a Russian dog that was talking.
Yes. In Guardians and in Nova, that was what was it, Neverwhere or something like that, or
yeah, is that what could be in the Guardians movie?
Possibly, yes. That actually makes a lot of sense because that was a big part of the Abnett and Lanning.
The Nova
setup. You know, like they had this kind of area in space that they could kind of. You know, it was like a space station.
It was their base for a while, exactly. Right? Yeah.
Yeah, it was a space station.
It's been a lot of killing of celestials lately.
Yeah, I was about to say, didn't they do it on Uncanny Avengers?
That's what led to the world being blown up.
Right.
Right, so yeah, we won't spoil what happens in Original Sin 3. I was taken aback. I was just like, what? Yeah, this ain't happening, but you know.
I laughed. Everything's funny.
I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but I've been more, I guess, intrigued by the storyline going on in the Avengers books than what's actually going on in Original Sin, with Captain America remembering what's going on and right. having the time gem and all of that. To me, seems much more interesting than what's going on in Original Sin with the death of the Watcher.
That was the last, what I ended my review with, is was saying I'm more intrigued by all the tie-in books and the secret, them dealing with the secrets that each hero learns, than what's going on in the main series.
Yeah.
I'm inclined to agree with both of you, but at the same time, there's just enough here that keeps me interested. You know, there's something underneath it all, even though for the most part it's just moving the story inexorably forward. There's a couple of nice little bits in here. They do a lot of comedy with the orb, which made me laugh out loud a couple of times. You know, there's a couple of really fun, you know, like what I thought were pretty funny lines with the orb, you know, like involving the orb. So, you know, it's interesting, you know, it's good. It's not great. Like you said, like both of you said, I think the tie-ins right now are much more engrossing and interesting. So, you know, it's a tough read on its own. Let's put it that way.
Gotcha. Hey, here's a question. And this may be a slightly dumb one, but are we not sure that Nick is the one that's heading both teams?
I was going to say, he looks like the mysterious boss in the shadows.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That kind of came up on a couple of the podcasts. I'm sitting here like, how do we know that he's not the one, you know?
I always thought it was.
Yeah, and that was my thinking going into it. And I'm not sure why people would think that somebody else would be.
I always thought it was. It very well still might be. No, no spoilers for me, but it very well, yeah. It very well still might be.
Yeah.
Cool. Anything else to share for Original Sin?
No, you know, just, you know, tell Eyeball Man to stop looking at me. It's all tell Eyeball Man to stop looking at me. You know, every time I flip back to that page, it just made me just kind of laugh, you know, just laugh a little. It's kind of a nice, you know, it's been a rough week and I just wanted to see something funny. And so, you know, I was reading this and I kind of turned back to that page. It just made me laugh. You know, it's a needed thing. It's needed a nice chuckle. Tell Eyeball Man to stop staring at Hulk.
Oh, wait, actually, I do have another question. Did we get any kind of concrete answers out of this issue?
Nope.
No, we got more clues.
Okay.
No.
Does it feel like it matters, though? I mean, that's my big thing.
I don't know if we find out that it matters until we read the tie-ins, and that stinks.
Well, but that's the problem with this series.
Right. So that's, you know, that's sort of, you know, that's the problem. You know, it almost, the problem with it. It's not standalone.
It almost feels like the tie-ins should be the main series and this should be the backstory. But the problem is there's no book that this could run in as a tie-in.
Right.
You know, there's no place to put this as a backstory somewhere. There's no follow-up book that you could really throw this into where it would make sense. So this has to be the main title, even though it just doesn't feel like it's really the important part of what's happening.
Mm. I was about to say, though, I guess it will matter because, well, if there are any interesting stories come out of it that the other books will take up, which sounds like, you know, especially with Avengers, could very well be, and are, you know, already starting to sow those seeds. So,
yeah, but again, that's not happening in this book.
Right. So, I mean, I've kind of been thinking, like Age of Ultron kind of felt the same way. It was like nothing in there was anything groundbreaking, but it could have potentially led to stories, you know, that the other books took up. And I think that was probably the whole point of it, not necessarily that it was going to do anything special.
Just watching the new Guardians of the Galaxy TV spot.
Oh, and also, if you buy the digital version of Original Sin number 3, you get the Infinite Comic, the second Infinite Comic from Secret Avengers, I believe.
All right, cool.
Okay. Who wants to bring up a book next?
All right, I'll do one. I'll do one because this is my my moment of shame. I have to bring up Cyclops number 2. I actually sat down this week and I was like, well, okay, Cyclops 2 is coming out, so I'll read Cyclops 1 and Cyclops 2 because it's only 2 issues and see what's going on. And the problem is that this was really entertaining and a lot of fun. It makes Cyclops a likable character again.
Oh no.
It makes the Starjammers actually feel like pirates, where you kind of like them, but they really are dirtbags when you get down to it. And his dad, he keeps saying, like, I don't know how to be a dad. I don't know how to, you know, deal with having a kid and blah, 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 and so forth and so on. And then you find out that he's got really much deeper problems than you knew about. You know, after the first issue, getting into the second issue, like, there's really a lot more going on with him that you should be concerned about. So I really found myself intrigued by the storyline and the characters, and I'm really, you know, wondering how they're going to try to redeem him, try to redeem the Starjammers and redeem this situation that he's kind of fallen into. And I'm just kind of wondering, Scott, because he's the young idyllic version of himself, he's the one who still sees a lot of promise and hope in the future and whatever, to me, that because there's that version of him and not the version that's, you know, currently running around with the big X on his head, I really like him, and I really like, you know, having that version of the character again. And I just enjoyed the book. I got done reading the second issue, I'm like, oh no, I'm in trouble. Because this is actually a lot of fun.
So. And it's pretty much continuity free. I mean, you get the gist of there's a Cyclops from the past is in the present.
And this guy in space is a pirate and his dad, and that's really all you need to know.
I'm trying to think, did I even mention him being dead but not anymore?
Yeah, I think they kind of say something about that. Like,
They catch up to speed on dad, and it's like, here you go. They're off in space together. Father-centric.
So I really enjoyed this more than I thought I would. And I have to say, Agent 70, I think he made the first issue his click of the week, the week the first issue came out. And I questioned it. And perhaps I was too...
harsh?
Too, yeah. Yeah, I shouldn't have done that. So.
Judgmental?
Let's let it go.
This is kind of a problem.
Let's let it go.
I might have made it my click of the week, too.
It was a good first issue. I haven't gotten around to the second issue.
I kind of wish the rest of the Starjammers were around, though. I know they're going to make appearances later, but...
So, yeah, I'm going to say, even if you don't have any interest, really, in the character, or even if you haven't really read, any X books deep since the original X Factor launched... You know all you need to know if you've seen one or two of the cartoons, you know. You really don't have to be a student of the history of the last 15 years of X-Men like all the other books are. And I think that's probably one reason why I really enjoyed it so much more.
Interesting. Now here's a question. Does old Cyclops recall all the memories that Scott's going through, the young Scott's going through now, like everything he's doing now, does he know, hey, I remember doing that because I'm right here?
I don't think so.
No, it doesn't work like that. They're not doing Marvel time travel like that.
Yeah, I kind of figured it out because I'm thinking, all right, at some point this is going to end and young Scott's going to go back and, like, is this just going to just flash Cyclops' whole, you know, the current Cyclops, I mean, the old Cyclops into who young Cyclops is now? Or
That's one of the things about time travel that you know, when someone goes back and if they change time, it's like that Back to the Future paradox, that if Marty goes back and changes time, then when he goes, you know, back to the present time, he shouldn't remember anything of his past life because technically it never happened.
Right.
His history has changed, you know, but it's just time travel are those weird stories that you just can't. There are too many different things that could happen, too many different ways that the rules could work, and you just don't know until you actually do it. And thus far, as we can show by having no demonstrable proof, that no one has done time travel yet, so there's no way of knowing exactly how it works.
Right, and they could just chalk this up as like, he was, because I think they even mentioned it, was like, they plucked him from an alternate timeline that just happened to match up.
Or they're all clones with fake memories.
Oh, jeez.
Stay on this Marvel. Oh, one last thing for Cyclops. If for anything, read it for the lovely art of Russell Dauterman.
Okay.
Because he is awesome.
Well, the story's not too bad either.
Yeah, story's not bad either. But you know I'm always about some art.
Yeah, but you still like Brett Booth. I can't figure it out.
I'm starting to see the faults that people have with him now.
Don't let him sway you. Don't let him sway you.
Y'all still eat me, or trying to. I still got to read last week's Flash. More Marvel, because that's all I read this week. Loki, Agent of Asgard, number 5.
Still liking this, are we?
Oh, yes, we are.
Yes, it's interesting. I missed a couple of the more recent. I think I missed the last issue, you know, but I picked this issue up and read it and didn't feel like I missed too much. It's still witty. It's still snappy. It's, you know, it seems like Al Ewing is having a lot of fun writing this.
It's just like with the Cyclops, the writing and art are both perfect for this series. So much so that, like, even if someone came in and did like a guest art, you know, to spell Lee Garbutt, I think his name is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'd enjoy it as much.
Hmm.
I don't know. They just seem like the perfect match on this book. I guess I need to pay attention to who the colorist is too on it. The whole team is just great. And I like the stuff with Sigurd and this sort of like Ocean's 12 type team Loki put together. It's a fun book.
Yeah, it is. I agree.
Light on continuity.
Yeah.
I guess you have to know who some of the existing characters are there. That's the only problem.
Right, and I think there is a caveat in there. There's a note that says the events in this book take place before the current events in the Thor book.
Yes.
So you do have to understand, you know, you have to have a little bit of sense of continuity, but not much of one. You know, no real need to read what's going on in Thor, but they probably recognize that there's a lot of Thor readers who probably read Loki as well.
I didn't know what to think when they announced a Loki ongoing series, but they've made me a believer.
No, you know what it is? Some writers just have more fun writing the
peripheral clearly characters.
Yeah, exactly. You know, no, not even peripheral, but just clearly not an evil guy, but just not the, you know, the saint that they try to portray a lot of the heroes as. He's a, you know, he's not even an anti-hero. Like, remember when anti-heroes were big in the 90s? He's just Loki. He's, you know, he's an interesting character with a lot of sides to him, and I think it definitely brings out, you know, a lot of you know, it gets the creative juices flowing, I think, for a lot of creators, you know, Kieron Gillen, now Al Ewing.
Yeah, I was about to say, plus the cinematic and the Younger Avengers portrayals of Loki, I'm sure, has given them something to go off of.
Definitely. You
know, yeah, I'm sure ever since the Avengers movie that Marvel's had plenty of blind submissions for a Loki ongoing.
Sure.
and a potential movie.
Yeah. Actually, that's, was it another podcast I listened to, from the other podcast, mentioned how they wouldn't be surprised if a Loki movie was one of the unannounced, untitled movies and coming up.
Well, there was an article about that being a rumor in Phase 3, so.
That would be interesting to see if Loki could carry a movie on his own. You definitely have to have, you know, the Asgard characters all pop up, and, you know, Thor included.
Yeah, and I suppose that may have to come off of whatever's going to happen in Thor 3.
Hmm. Or maybe even in the Guardians movies, too. You know, in the Guardians movie, because, you know, they've established Asgard as kind of being in space and kind of being amongst the aliens, so you never know.
I think you're forgetting that this is Disney Marvel, so if Loki gets a movie, it'll actually co-star Phineas and Ferb.
No. No, that's if it was a cartoon on Disney XD.
You don't think they'd do a CG platypus?
Live action Phineas and Ferb.
You guys just lost me.
Starring someone from Glee and someone from some other movie that won an Academy Award. No one's ever heard of.
I guess, do we even want to talk about the? I know we talked about it a little bit last week. About the whole Fantastic Four fiasco.
Right.
Do we want to touch on that again since a lot of stuff happened after we recorded
last week? What happened since we recorded? Refresh my memory.
Did we talk about the document that Blee and Cole had about don't use these characters?
Oh, right.
And there's been more articles saying, kind of alluding to the fact that they don't want artists to, you know, no artist submissions for anything. And a couple other things I can't remember because that was a few days ago.
No kidding. I don't know. I still think that's.
I think there's a lot of half truths and half lies. Somewhere in the middle is the truth.
The document they had was not for Marvel Comics artists per se. It was for the licensors. So it's basically artists who were doing stuff for trading cards or bed sheets or posters or stickers or coloring books or, you know, that kind of stuff. And they weren't supposed to use Dr. Doom or Fantastic Four or, you know, any of those characters that are core to that book. But then Marvel did announce that they're doing a Fantastic Four special that is going to be set as the jokingly the 100th anniversary issue. So set 25 years in the future, the 100th anniversary of Marvel Comics, what would the Fantastic Four be like?
Yeah, a couple of comments are getting those. I saw someone today like using that as an excuse, saying like, "See, Marvel, another new Fantastic Four series is launching, but y'all said Marvel's canceling all their Fantastic Four books."
Yeah, but that's not a series; that's a special.
Yeah, I know, and I almost wanted to reply, and I was just like, "Nope."
It gets to a point where you're just like, I gotta let that go. Like,
yeah,
those people can have the world to themselves. I don't need it.
Like this guy, he spent not all weekend, but he spent a chunk of Saturday like ranting on how Blee and Cole is nothing but lies, and he's one of those guys that I guess Blee and Cole had some rumor about the movie maybe a couple months ago or last year, the Fantastic Four movie that was wrong. So now he doesn't believe anything that they say about anything.
It's a rumor website.
Well, yeah, I don't believe everything I read there either.
All the time.
Well, it's like they're on the money a lot on the comic book side of stuff more than the movies.
Right.
Although, to be fair, a lot of times when you're dealing with stuff like movies and TV shows and even comics, the stuff is pretty fluid. So they may report on something which, you know, 9 months later when a movie comes out, it turns out to be something different. That doesn't mean that 9 months beforehand that wasn't what they were thinking and what they were planning on doing. Like, right. Plans change over the course of production of these things. And, you know, when you start out with a script and what you end up, you know, with on the screen or in the actual printed comic could be completely different. So they may report on something. They may not be technically wrong. It just means that at some point editorial may have changed their mind. And that happens all the time.
Yeah. Good point. But yeah, he and this other guy, he likes to say how people don't read the comics. But then I don't even think he's reading any current books. He deals mostly in a bunch of the older stuff. So, but anyway, off topic.
Yeah.
So that's our thoughts on Fantastic Four. I guess we didn't really say what our thoughts were, but we at least touched on the subject of what's going on with the Fantastic Four.
I feel like it'll come back up.
Yeah. And more than likely, them breaking the news on what could possibly be happening probably changed. Is changing stuff anyway, so just like Dirt brought up.
Yeah, I kind of feel bad that the book's getting put in a bad place, though.
It seems like James Robinson has like long-term stuff in mind.
Yeah.
But.
Well, the book's, I don't think the book is doing all that well either, so.
No.
Fantastic Four.
It's hard to. You know, unless they grab you right away, and unless, you know, we were talking about this last week, and unless it feels like there's some, there's a bigger payoff somewhere down the road, it's hard to get into, you know, and I'm having trouble right now with some of the things that are happening in Robinson's story, so,
you know,
it doesn't feel very FF-y, we'll put it that way.
I will say I'm enjoying his All New Invaders.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Even though I think he doesn't write a good Cap to me. His voice for Cap doesn't sound right. Yeah, it doesn't sound right to me.
All right, back to comics.
Yes.
Well, we were on comics.
Who wants to bring up another book?
Here, let's get off Marvel for a second.
All right.
Just about to say that.
Big Trouble in Little China, number one.
Nice.
Because when the thunder's rolling and the rain's coming down, the sheet's as thick as lead, sometimes you got to go for something a little different. So I am an old person. I think we've established that by now. So this is a book that is based off of a book and comes directly behind, comes directly at the end of the Big Trouble in Little China movie, which was by John Carpenter, for those who don't know, back in the 80s. It was very much an 80s movie. This book has very much those same tones because, as I said, it just comes off, like, straight off at the end of that movie. So if you've seen the movie and you've seen the end of that movie, it pretty much picks up there. That said, the tone of this book is within the tone of the movie. It kind of actually directly goes from the tone of this movie and starts launching off into something else, but it picks up pretty nicely. The comedy in this, the tone of the comedy in this book is pretty much aligned with the movie.
Well, John Carpenter is plotting this, right?
Right. So it very much shows in the book. I'm not sure if I'm totally sold on a couple of spots in it, but where it picks up and where it's going is like, hey, if they did another movie, they would probably come from this point anyway. So probably I kind of wonder if he did have some notes for another book. I mean, for another movie at some point, and just kind of took that and say, well, here, use this for the book.
Sounds about right.
So I will never say, if you are a fan of that movie, or the 80s in general, well, I'm not even going to say that because I can't say there's this much 80s, but if you are a fan of that movie and in any characters in there, you will enjoy this book for that much and the tone of it. And who's the art in itself, huh? Go ahead.
Who's the publisher?
Boom.
Boom.
Boom. Okay. Sure.
There was something else I was going to say about books, I can't even remember now. Great. What did I do?
Does the artwork, like, are the likenesses?
There we go.
For the characters?
So, yes, to a point. I mean, if you see Jack Burton's face, like, the cover is not necessarily, the cover is not necessarily indicative of the art as much, but it's not that far off. Like, you see, it's Jack Burton's face is pretty much, I wish I had had saved that shot that I had intended to use, but it's within the realm of it. Like, Jack's face is a little bit bigger, a little bit chunkier, but, you know, cartoonishly so. So it's not outside of the realm of how he would look, you know. And the art inside is, I'm trying to figure out, because I've been thinking about this, how to explain this when and or if I do the review. But I would hope that I will have those words when I come to it. But let's just say it is not outside the realm of what you would expect.
Who else wants to bring one up?
I'll bring up one here. Nailbiter number 2. This is continuing the horror series from Image. It's funny because I read the first issue and I really liked it. It's about this guy tracking down a serial killer. He ends up dead, and his former partner, was supposed to meet him. So he's in town trying to figure out what happened to him. And from this town, all these serial killers had emerged over the years. And the guy's trying to figure out, you know, is it something special about this town, or is there someone, you know, putting these impulses in the people and whatever. And in the meantime, after I read the first one, the first season of Hannibal popped up on Amazon Prime. So I started watching Hannibal. And if you've ever seen that TV show, it's, you know, Hannibal Lecter, serial killer, and it's all about these guys chasing serial killers and whatnot. And so now I went back, like all of this has been in my head. I go back to read issue number 2, and I feel like they really nailed the atmosphere in this comic. It is so hard to do a horror comic because, you know, blood and gore and all that type of stuff just really doesn't come across well when it's drawn. And Hickman did a story last year or 2 years ago about a serial killer in like the 1920s traveling around. And it was, I want to say it was called Secret, but I don't think that's right. I think that's a different series. But it has that same type of creepy atmosphere. The characters feel real. You feel like they're actually in danger. You're worried for them as the book's going along, and it's more of building that tension and that atmosphere, and not so much about the fact that you're going to see someone get their, you know, face chewed off, or they're going to get, you know, gutted in the middle of a scene or whatever, because obviously that's not going to have the same emotional impact on you. So I think they really nailed that creepiness and making you care about the characters and building that world that feels real, even though all this type of, you know, horrible stuff is happening. And the second issue is just as good as the first issue. The first issue was my click of the week it came out, and I'm probably going to make this my click of the week this week, unless someone could convince me otherwise on a different book as we're going through things tonight, because this is just, it's so well done. It's so well crafted. They obviously, you know, thought everything through so well that things just fall into place perfectly for telling the story. The pacing is good. The artwork is good. You know, everything about it is just a great book from top to bottom.
Yeah, I wanted to try to get to it before the show tonight, but just couldn't do it.
It's Did you read the first one?
Yeah, I read the first one. Enjoyed it, so.
Yeah.
I will get to it. It's just a matter of when.
Right now.
Good job. That was over. Oh, well.
Okay. Let me see if I can find another one.
Are you still reading New Warriors?
I am, but I haven't got to this week's yet. I'm going to keep reading it till they cancel it, put it that way, which will probably be soon.
I started on that book.
But you didn't finish it?
Well, I hadn't, I didn't read 4. So.
Did you read New Warriors, Doug?
No, not this one, because like I said, I hadn't read 4 yet, so.
No, I'm not really a fan of New Warriors. I just saw that it came out this week, and I knew that you had been you were the head of the Night Thrasher fan club back in the day. So,
yes. Amazing X-Men number 8. I'm going to bring up.
Okay.
Just because I'm not sure if I'm going to actually keep up with this series anymore.
This issue is weird.
I put in my notes that I'm not sure why this book exists anymore. because, you know, Jason Aaron was doing it, and it's supposed to be sort of like the sister book to Wolverine the X-Men, as far as, you know, it's the story, the adventures of the teachers at the Jean Grey School of Higher Learning. So just them being superheroes, which I guess it still is. It's still dealing with the adults on campus. But yeah. Jason Aaron's not writing anymore, and they're doing a 5-part with World Wendigo.
News nerds need, man.
I got to open the first page. I opened the recap page, and it said part 1 of 5. I was like, 5? Yeah. Good grief. 5?
Come on,
5 parts of a Wendigo story?
Yes.
Come on, man. Like, you got the great title for a trade paperback.
So I like Ed McGuinness art. So it has that going for it, but
there's a couple of points to McGuinness's art in this that I kind of, you know, was taken aback. Like the very first, you know, like the person that dies to set off the Wendigo infection or the Wendigo curse. You know, I thought some of that art was pretty weak.
Yeah.
You know, like the guy whose head snaps, you know, his neck snaps. I was just like, wow, that's really not very good, McGuinness.
Yeah,
it was just bad.
I think it was Newsarama's review pointed out how the Dexter Vines usually does Ed's inks, and he's not on it at least this issue, so it looks a little different.
Yeah. You know, he's not providing the kind of finish and flair to it. You know. I was very disturbed by this book, although I've kind of lost track of Alpha Flight, you know, as an older reader. I thought James Hudson was dead.
I thought they were all dead in some issue of Avengers.
No, that was Omega Flight, I believe.
Omega Flight died in the Avengers, right? Yeah. James Hudson is back? What's going on?
Well,
I guess now he's not. No, spoiler alert.
Well, we don't know what actually happened to him, because all we know is he was in there for a second, and then, you know,
right. And now Vindicator may not be. And I'm like, come on, what's going on here, people?
So, Heather's still around, so.
Well, maybe. Did you read this?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Maybe she's around.
Well, yeah. I guess there was that, but yeah, I think that she's definitely still around on that one, because even in that one, finally, you can kind of. I don't think that whatever we saw last of her would not have happened if she was dead, let's say.
Okay.
So you guys don't
sound like you really sold on the issue though as a whole.
No.
Actually, I mean, I kind of enjoyed the issue. Like I can't say that I would give up the book for it, because I kind of want to see where it's going, and the beginning of the plot was like, hey, they kind of lifted that from somewhere, seems like, but all right.
I've got another issue with this book and a couple of other X books now. It's the...
Rant away.
Yes. It's going to be a quick rant. It's the shadow of Wolverine hanging over these books. I'm kind of tired of him now. Since I know he's going to die... And all these books are like, so because he doesn't have his healing factor. Oh my god, he can't step out of the house. Every comic, Wolverine the X-Men, Wolverine, Amazing X-Men now.
Amazing X-Men Annual had something about that too today.
I'm only going to read that for Salvador LaRocca's art whenever I get to it. But yeah, so those three books, they all deal with Wolverine. Of course, Wolverine is one of the solo books I just mentioned, but yeah, Wolverine, Amazing X-Men, Wolverine, X-Men, they're all dealing with, they have like the shadow of Wolverine just hovering over the books. It's like, oh, we got to look after him extra careful, because he could die, he could get hurt, he's not invulnerable anymore.
Yeah, actually, that was part of this book that I kind of enjoyed, when Storm was looking for him. And
you know, I mean, yeah, they made it.
Well, that part was good. I kind of like that. You know, the part where, you know, she's like, you know, kind of overreacting, or maybe even just being protective.
Yeah, and chastising Bobby for being Bobby, basically. So.
Right, but at the same time, I'm like, wait, they're writing Bobby Drake like this again? What?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's my problem with some of these ad splits right now, which is a shame.
I guess, I'm listening to you, you know, say that, like, everybody's freaking out that he doesn't have his healing factor, and it almost sounds like no other character in the history of comics has ever survived without a healing factor, so therefore a healing factor is a must in order to live. As if you couldn't just say to Wolverine, well, hey, you are like one of, what, six people on the planet that we know of that have this healing factor. So, you know, now that you've lost it, you're just like everybody else. Like, it shouldn't be like, oh, my God, you're dead. It's like, oh, my God, you're boring now.
Nah.
Yeah. Well, even in this, like, in this issue where... where was I going with this? Like, even when they were looking for him, and because there was the funny part about it was, like, they bring up the fact that it's like basically X-Men died, because in the beginning you see Nightcrawler, you see Colossus and Nightcrawler talking, and then they just have that little 2 seconds about everybody who's died, or not everybody who's died, the bunch of people who's died, and, you know, before going into the fact that the Storm starts looking for Wolverine, so. I was like, yeah, okay, we know this. You're like, you bringing that up, you know? So that
part, of course,
was that?
I was going to say, and of course, every X-Men who dies stays dead forever and never comes back.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And exactly, and that was part of that part of the book also, because Nightcrawler was like, well, because Peter was like, you're dead recently, and Nightcrawler was like, well...
So were you!
I went to your funeral, and then Peter was like, well, yeah, but you died, and then they start running down people's names. I'm like, yeah, okay.
That was kind of funny.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Some of the experts are in a weird spot right now.
I would argue that they've been in a weird spot for a while.
But then I can name like three other X-Men books I'm enjoying, like All New X-Men, All New X-Factor, which came out this week, Cyclops. Mm-hmm. I'm probably not going to... I want to keep reading Nightcrawler for Todd Knott's art, but I don't know if I can deal with Chris Claremont.
This is a weird turn of events, because
Storm has a book coming out. I'll check out that for Greg Pak.
Yes, I think that'll be worth reading.
Oh yeah,
you know, Greg Pak has a passion for a lot of these characters and for good storytelling. And I think, you know, if he can strike the right chord and get the right artist to stay on this book, I think that's going to be a good book to pick up and follow.
I'm trying to think, am I forgetting one? X-Men. It's losing Brian Wood, but picking up
Mike Guggenheim.
Guggenheim for like 3 or 4 issues. I wonder who will be announced to take over after that, though. So, yeah. And, of course, Wolverine dies this fall, so.
Yeah.
Meh.
They're probably just, you know what it is? A lot of the X-Books are probably in a holding pattern until that happens. And then the ramifications are all, and the fallout's all going to come, you know.
That's our issue.
Through the books.
Another issue, I know we've been talking about X-Men books for a minute now, but like, so in Wolverine, he's already left the school. So we're waiting for the other books to catch up to the moment when he does leave as headmaster of the school. And I know they promised, you know, the books will catch up with Wolverine, but it hasn't happened yet. Mm-hmm. So that's another thing, like that shadow hanging over the books. But anyway.
All right. Let me throw out a book, see if there's anything here that people read. You know what? I didn't put on my list that I read Avengers World number 7.
Okay.
I see that is on Roddy's list. There were a couple of interesting things going on in this book.
Yeah, I'm halfway through it, so continue.
Part of it was like, part of it is kind of... taken from, you know, I guess, not real world events, but from real world anxieties.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, wait, China's got their own version of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Exactly. When I saw that, I said the exact same thing. It's like, because of course they do.
You know, and they wear the S.H.I.E.L.D. on them, really?
Yeah, I was about to say, and not just S.H.I.E.L.D. that they have their own of.
Yeah, exactly. So,
Yeah, I thought it was a good read. I thought it was like, just like I said in my notes, this is probably the closest thing we're going to get to a Falcon solo. And then I read that part, like I think I had said that right before I got to the part where the Chinese shield shows up.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, eh, all right.
Well, you know, that's, you know, I hate to say this. This is probably, you know, because of the way they're telling the story. Do you guys remember Avengers Spotlight?
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, and all these like kind of, you know, like spotlight books that Marvel did for, you know, some of the secondary and tertiary, even, you know.
Well, see, yeah. And that's why I figured,
you know, even lower characters. Right. And what's cool about this is that what, you know, their strategy is to tell an overarching Avengers story, but still focus on some of the tertiary characters and, you know, give them some space to shine where, you know, people reading the main Avengers book are still looking for Cap, Iron Man and Thor to, you know, take the center stage. So, you know, I like that this book does that. I like that this book is, you know, that's sort of the mission for this book and still tell a good Avenger story. So, you know, I like this book. It's not strong enough for me to make it click of the week, but I did enjoy reading this book this week.
Yeah, I'd go along with that.
So, anyone read any DC stuff?
Actually, I haven't had time.
Same.
We had a massive rainstorm this week on, I guess it was Tuesday night, and my basement flooded. And I was downstairs carrying buckets of water out of the basement, pouring them out the side door of the house.
No good.
For an hour, and, you know, the middle of the night. So my schedule's been thrown off, so I didn't have a chance to read very much this week.
No good. Hope everything's all right, Dirt.
Yeah, well, my basement now smells like old sneaker.
Oh, that's no good. You're going to have to get, whatchamacallit, either a contractor or some, whatchamacallit. You know, like you got to do like the water.
Yeah, well, actually, I'll make a long story short, but we actually discovered that the former owners of the house put a wall in the basement and they actually just carved out part of the cinder block wall down in the basement. They just chiseled out a big chunk in order to put this base of the wall in, and they didn't seal it back up. So we basically just have this hole where water has been trickling in.
Oh, man.
So, fun times.
Yeah.
But it kind of makes it hard to read comics.
Yeah.
Understandably so.
Yeah.
You know, this would be a real funny thing if I was the only one who had actually read a DC book this week, considering I'm the only one who probably doesn't read DC. Well, I actually did read one, but I didn't read any this week. But that would have been pretty, that would be pretty great.
I didn't have the heart to do it today. I was exhausted. You know, it's just been a rough week. So
I've got
to read Batman Eternal. I wanted to read the new, you know, Futures End number 5 today. No dice.
Supposed to storm there this weekend, so maybe I'll stay in and get some reading done.
Sorry, Dirt, I interrupted. You were saying?
Actually, I was going to say the one book that I can briefly talk about here is Tiny Titans Return to the Treehouse.
Nice!
And yes. I can say it was good enough that my son won't give it to me for me to read.
Nice!
That I'm going to have to read the review copy on my tablet because the paper copy, he refuses to give up. So that must be a quality sign of that book, yeah.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, I loved what I read of the 1-2 issues of the last run, so I might actually have to pick this up.
That's a good thing.
Should we just do clicks of the week now?
Yeah.
Sure.
And on this note.
Let's do it.
It's between two books for me. Which one I enjoyed the most? I'm going to keep giving some love to Cyclops number 2.
Nice. You're going to have to get to read that this week.
Between that and Loki.
Yeah, I was about to say, you just spoiled mine.
And Dirt said his was...
I'm going to go with Nailbiter number 2.
Nice.
Another number 2.
Right.
It's good when the number 2s remain as good as the number 1s. You know, you don't have that...
Maintaining some consistency, yeah.
Yeah, you don't have that drop-off.
Nice. Well, and as I just said, my pick, my click of the week this week is Loki, Agent of Asgard, number 5. you know, just enjoyed reading this. Just, you know, just it's a hoot. You know, it's an old school way of putting it, but it's definitely a hoot.
Gotcha. Well, I'm going to go with, as much as I liked Big Trouble in Little China, and just like I said earlier, if you do like the 80s and specifically that book, I mean, that movie, go pick that up. But I'm going to go with Iron Fist, the Living Weapon, number 3.
Nice. We didn't talk about that.
Yeah.
I saw it on your list.
Like even when I saw that,
there's some cover, stuff going on in this book, man.
Yeah, like I love that cover from when I saw it, and I wasn't sure, I didn't want to say anything until I knew that was actually going to be the official one. But I love that cover, and going from there, because that cover pretty much, the art on the inside is indicative of the cover. I mean,
yeah, it's Carl Andrews,
right?
Yeah,
because he's on both, and just like shit, there's stuff going on in this book. Like we get a little bit more backstory into like we start off with. But Danny's getting training when he first gets into Kunlun.
Yeah.
And it just goes from there. Like, Danny's just like I said when the book first started. Danny's in a spot right now.
Oh, definitely, definitely. And you see some stuff happening to the Thunder. I was like, oh, snap.
Right.
Spoiler alert, right?
Exactly. I was like, wow, they're not messing around. Yeah. But this was a very good read, and it's got a lot of action if you want, and a little bit of. Probably it's a little bit of backstory that's gonna
right.
Come
yeah,
back
I wasn't happy
story.
With how the book ended.
Yeah,
and that kept it from being my click of the week. And I'm starting to drag here, fellas. That's why I didn't even object. You know, I didn't even start the lightning review round that I usually try to throw in when we start to like kind of peter out towards the end of the show. I wanted to mention Iron Fist, and that was my one criticism is that I was not happy with how the book ended. But there's still enough there for me to want to pick up the next issue and see what happens.
Indeed.
And Eclectic, I'm shouting you out. You know, I don't know what you have, what problem you have with Kari Andrews' art. This is pretty good.
Alrighty. So, yes, we've all had long weeks, so
yep.
Abbreviated episode tonight.
Only slightly.
We do want to thank everyone for tuning in to us live, if you did, or listening to the podcast version. I encourage you to go to quicknation.com again. Follow us on our individual Twitter accounts. I'm at TimDoGG98 and at TheQuickNation. Dirt is at PCN_Dirt. Roddy Cat is at Roddy Cat and at News Nerds Need. Agent 70 is at Agent_70.
And hey, if you're going to be at Heroes Con in a couple of weeks, I think Tim's going to be there. I'm going to be there. Come say hey, even though you probably don't know who the hell we are.
Hey, special edition NYC. Anyone going to meet NYC for special edition at Jacob Javits? Look for me.
When is that?
June 14th and 15th.
Oh, so that's next weekend.
Yeah, man.
Cool. So, yeah, so you'll be at a convention next weekend, and Roddy Cat and I will be at another one.
The weekend after, right?
Yep.
There you go.
Good times. We'll report back with everything we see.
That's right.
Here.
And bye.
And bye.
I was in line earlier today. I was looking at the guest list for Heroes Con, and I was just like, oh, I'm going to spend so much money.
Prioritize.
Yep. Mm-hmm. But we'll talk about that later.
You got it. We'll have our pre-con and post-con wrap-ups over the next couple of weeks, too. So look forward to that, listeners and viewers.
So with that, we will bid you adieu.
Yay.
We are the Comic Book Chronicles, and we are signing off.
Hey!